Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the onion of humour, mixing it with the batter of friendship and the spices of conversation, and deep frying it in the oil of the World Wide Web. James, it's onion bargy.
An onion bargy of a podcast.
Yeah.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster.
Together, a bargecast.
Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a guest. We ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. And this week, our guest is...
Killer Mike. Killer Mike from Run the Jewels and a wonderful solo artist.
One of the greatest rappers.
Oh, yeah. He's probably my favourite. James.
Yeah. I mean, we're beyond excited for this.
Yes.
It's a bit ridiculous. You know, obviously, we're currently recording it in the podcast studio, waiting for Killer Mike to arrive, and we didn't think we'd ever say that when we started this podcast.
No, we didn't think that. Also, nerves, just a bit nervous because we really like Killer Mike.
And yes.
We don't want to seem like idiots in front of Killer Mike.
Yeah, which is it's a tricky one because our stock in trade is being idiots.
Yes.
So, that's going to be quite hard.
He's a clever guy.
That would be difficult. And it would also be very awkward if we had to kick Killer Mike out of the Dream Restaurant.
Yeah.
If he says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we have deemed to be unacceptable. But those are the rules of the podcast.
I'd rather kick myself out of the Dream Restaurant.
I'd rather kick you out of the Dream Restaurant too.
I'm happy to fall on that sword. But the secret ingredient, James, this is one that you've come up with, actually.
Yes.
Because I just went to the toilet and I came back and you said you thought of it.
Yeah. This week, the secret ingredient is... A cheesy rat.
A cheesy rat. Now, explain this a little bit for everyone.
Run the Jewels get their name from a lyric from another rap song by LL Cool J, Cheesy Rat Blues.
Yes.
So it's associated with Killer Mike.
Yeah.
But most likely won't come up.
No.
So we won't have to kick him out of the restaurant, which is like, you know, there are a few, you know, food references in Killer Mike songs and song titles. But stuff like, you know, Southern Fried.
Yeah.
I don't want to go, oh yeah, we'll choose Southern Fried Chicken.
Because he's rapping about things that he likes.
He's rapping about things that he likes. And like, you know, I mean, I think Southern Fried is mainly about being from the South.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, and also, these rappers, sometimes they use double meanings.
Which is not our stock in trade.
No, we're very single meaning guys.
Yeah, we're very just, we say what we mean.
Telling Killer Mike about your album?
No.
Don't worry, man.
I'm too intimidated.
Don't worry, man, I'll bring it up for you. I'll say, have you heard of Temps, Killer Mike?
Oh, Killer Michael
goes, one of the hottest hip hop outfits on the scene.
Yes, but then Killer Michael saying nope.
Yeah, and I'll say they're one of the hottest hip hop outfits on the scene. And if I do that, will you tell Killer Mike about my book Glutton?
Yeah, okay. I'll say, have you heard about Glutton, the multi course life of a very greedy boy, Killer Mike?
This is so weird.
It's one of the hottest books on the scene.
Yeah, one of the hottest hip hop.
We're lucky if we even get through it. It's also for the listener. We've told our friend and comedian Nish Kumar to meet us. We haven't told him who we're interviewing. Nish is a massive Run the Jewels fan. And we've just been like, come and meet us at the studio at 5. And he was like, I've got an appointment at 5. Really important appointment.
Yeah.
We're like, move it. It's like, tell me what it is. Tell me what is going on at 5. We're like, no. You got to come. It's a surprise.
Yeah.
You come and we don't tell you or nothing.
Yeah.
So he's done it. He's moved his very important appointment.
Yeah.
He's coming at 5. So that's going to be mad when that happens.
Well, also, Killer Mike's got a busy day.
Yeah.
So he's going to be late. So Nish is going to be here for hours.
Yeah. So Killer Mike's getting here at like 4:30.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to be finishing at 5.
Yeah.
So now Nish is going to get here and he'll be waiting for quite a while.
Yeah.
And we've told all the people who work here at Plosive not to tell Nish who we're interviewing. Yeah. So he will
know because he'll walk through here and he'll look.
He'll look and then we'll hear him go. And Killer Mike will be like, who's that? Yeah. Well, that's Nish Kumar.
Yeah. Or what's going to happen is Killer Mike's day is going to get later and later, and he does have a gig tonight.
Yes.
So he might just cancel, and then Nish will just be here.
Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah, that would be funny too.
We will interview Nish. If Nish turns up and Killer Mike doesn't, we will interview Nish.
Yeah.
We'll get him to imagine the menu of Killer Mike.
But also, I can't stress this enough. If Killer Mike doesn't show up and can't make it, you won't be hearing this now.
You won't hear this.
No, this is for us.
No.
RTJ, motherfuckers.
RTJ motherfuckers, this is the off-menu of Killer Mike.
Killer Mike! Welcome, Michael, to the Dream Restaurant.
Yeah, thanks for it.
Welcome, Killer Mike, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Man, thank you guys. I appreciate you for waiting me out, man. I'm glad to be here.
We're very, very excited to have you here.
They tricked me. If you guys may not know who's not, say I'm a chubby guy. It was like, Mike, it involves food. I'm like, hell fucking yeah. And then we were coming and said, well, they don't actually serve food. Just talk about
it.
Yeah. I was like, fair enough.
That's the hustle.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people leave this podcast very hungry and frustrated. So but sorry about that.
On show days, I don't eat too much before. But I did take my whole production team and my choir and DJ and everybody. I took them to breakfast this morning. I grew up eating an English-style breakfast and didn't know what I was. I just thought my grandpa liked beans in the morning. But I'm assuming whoever owned this family over 100 years ago were probably people from this side because we ate fucking pork and beans, blood pudding or blood pie, you know, two different meats. And I didn't know until my first trip here years ago that was just actually a thing here. And then I felt normal again because kids thought I was weird eating beans for breakfast in the morning when I was a child.
That must have been mad, just coming here for the first time and seeing that breakfast again and putting two and two together.
Yeah, I literally jumped off the plane and saw it outside the airport, like, what the fuck? And then by the time I got to the airport, by the time I got to the hotel, I was like, oh, I'm eating this.
Yeah.
And it was as good. It was as good as my grandmother.
Every hotel here as well, you're going to get that for breakfast.
So that's what my wife and I ate beans this morning and bacon and sausage, and it's good. But I realized that it probably worked great for them back in the days because they actually went and did work after they ate it. We just went back to sleep.
That's it. There's so much British food as well that is like clearly designed for people who are going to go and do manual labor.
Yeah,
afterwards.
You can tell working class folks. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to work it off during the day. We're just sitting around watching fucking reality TV now.
Go and sit in a car, podcast, offering,
smoking, smoking weed and shit.
You got a whole choir to feed as well. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, the Midnight Revival, man. I got a 5-person choir on there. Shout out to Jory, Jordan, Adonica, Troy, and Alicia. And my DJ, of course, Track Starter DJ. Mm-hmm. Thanks for them. And then I just got a great production team, too, and Connor. You know, my man Penner. Got my camera guy here, Mike, and my man Barron, my assistant Rhonda, and my A&R cuz. Like, it's called, I didn't make any money out here. I just took a big loss to come here and promote, and I don't have any regrets. I really love coming over here for the enthusiasm of the crowds and doing cool stuff like this.
All we've got is the great Benito. That's our
Benito.
That's
our you got a name that says like I'm going to have sex with you. Like, yeah. You know, there's no way woman or man could refuse Benito. What's your name, Benito?
Yeah.
Well, you're a man of mystery.
You know? He is.
Yeah, like Benito. That's like a rapper would choose your name as their name.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Benito. You meet Finito. You know, I'm not Caucasian. My name is Negro. You know what I'm saying?
Don't say that, Benito.
I wouldn't mind. I'd protect. I wouldn't let anybody jump. You, Benito. He's with me. He's like a mob move. He's one of my guys.
So how's the response to the album been in the UK then and the live shows?
Man, the live show sold out in a day, you know?
Amazing.
I was leaving to start doing interviews today, and this Peck will be well-dressed man. I'm in the financial district. Great haircuts. I know this motherfucker's rich. Runs up to me and says, are you Big Mike? And I'm like, I'm killing Mike. He says, man, that album is mad, man. You got to take a picture with me. And I'm like, fucking A. And we take a picture. So I was pleasantly surprised, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially since the night before security didn't know who the fuck I was and tried to put me out of the lobby.
Oh, wow. good fun. I didn't know you could do an English accent, and I'm really happy to hear you do that.
Yeah.
The South, and what's crazy is, so, you know, originally, you know, America, at some point, they get over there, whoever their first Americans were, and they were like, you know what, fuck that. We ain't got to send tax money back. We could just stay. And those cities were, of course, like Boston, Philadelphia, New York, you know, and they would tell us in the South, you guys don't use proper English, shit like that. But when I start coming over here, I start realizing, no, we do. You know, we don't say watch your step. We say mind your step.
Yeah.
You know, we don't say either. We say neither of you. You know, the stuff like that. So what I realized is a lot of the colloquial terms that I grew up thinking was not good English is actually proper English. I grew up going back. You know, I grew up going home like Southerners. We know what we're talking about. Yeah, you New Yorkers, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You know? So I feel a weird kinship to the UK. And again, the people here are always kind and nice. And whether we're doing Kingston or whether we've done Birmingham, what's called Birmingham, you know, in America, just it's incredibly similar at different points. So I'm always comfortable here.
Now, we always ask at the top of the podcast if someone is a foodie. You've already told us before the podcast that
you are. Well, I'm fat. I think that explains it. For me, I've lost some weight, though. I'm 47 pounds down trying to lose some more. So I'm still eating food, just eating a little differently, you know?
Yeah.
What's that change been then?
Just more toward... I've always been a little chubby kid, but I've always moved around a lot. But just honestly, more like I realized my grandparents gave me all the answers. You know, my grandpa had to lose weight in 87. He had a mild heart attack, had to lose weight. Starts telling my grandmother, feed me out of a saucer instead of a plate. So, you know, when they say portion control and stuff like that, no one had to tell him to do portion control. He'd just say, instead of doing a plate, he just eat out of a saucer. And the next thing you know, he flames out. And we ate a lot of game meat. So we ate deer. You know, we ate wild hog. We did a lot of lake fishing. So we ate a lot of lake fish. And my grandma was big on, she'd preserve her own vegetables and stuff like that. So our cupboard was full of jars and stuff from vegetables she had. So I just started just doing back to shit that they did.
Yeah.
You know, less breads and sugars and stuff, and just, you know, drink ice water. If you, you know, if you do drink something that's sweet, just drink one of it, drink it at the end, you know, versus that. So just very simple stuff like that. And just moving around more. Like I say, my grandfather would eat an English style breakfast, but he'd go work 12 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'd do it, smoke 12 joints. You know? So I'm learning, you know, eat off the saucer, only smoke one joint, take a 10-minute walk, don't
go to
sleep.
So you've cut down on everything, really. Yeah.
It must be nice doing stuff that, like, you know, your grandparents did as well. Did it make you feel more connected to them as well? Like,
it does. They raised me and my sisters. My middle sister, who's the wilder one, who liked clubs and shit like that, she now gardens, helps feed 6 or 7 families from a garden.
Wow.
So I was like, shit, I wasn't paying attention to grandma like this. But she paid attention. So she gardens. She knows how to can her own food and stuff. My younger sister's an accountant, so she doesn't have to do shit. She's rich. You know I'm saying? But I haven't been in a while, but fishing is something I still enjoy, because you just get to talk shit, smoke a joint, you know, until the game warden comes by, you got to hide your weed. Like, why isn't you can't smoke weed on a lake? You know what I mean? Like, how are you policing me on a fucking lake? I'm just trying to catch a bass. Get some ass.
You just sat there with a rock. Like, it feels like the perfect time, right?
It is, yeah. And then the game warden comes along. I smell marijuana. Like, how the fuck do you know what marijuana smells like? You know?
Well, we always start the dream meal with still or sparkling water, Mike. Do you have
I'm a still water guy. I like ice water. So I like that's just fun. That's the only funky thing about Europe for me. Like, you guys are not as ice heavy, but I'm a big fan of ice water and just lemons in my ice water. Sparkling water if I'm on a date with my wife and I want to feel, because she drinks. I'm not as much of a drinker. Mm-hmm. I have like, you know, maybe a whiskey 3-4 times a year, but you know, I like still water and just with a lot of ice in it. And with her, if I want to look fancy, I'll get a sparkling water, you know.
Are we talking crushed ice, big cubes of ice?
I like any ice. I like in my whiskey, I like when they give you the one big cube.
I love that.
Yeah, because it never melts. But the crushed ice melts quick. I want to know what's the difference. I got an ice conspiracy. I think rich people have better ice.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to those whiskey bars and shit, their ice never melts. Yeah. When you go to TGI Friday, that ice is gone before it even hits the cup good.
But those posh bars, like they have ice shipped in, right?
Yes,
and they get huge blocks.
They chop the blocks off and they make it a whole thing of it.
It's amazing. I love watching those videos of them shaping the ice blocks.
Yeah, me too.
Well.
It's pretty cool.
Incredible. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I definitely fit one of those big, but you can't have those big whiskey cubes. Mm. If I saw that in any other drink, I wouldn't be able to take it seriously.
Yeah.
If someone gave me like a Coke and it's got that in it, I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't do this.
Cokes, I've broken an addiction to. I literally just loved Coca-Cola. And I'm from Atlanta, home of Coca-Cola. So I haven't had a Coke since when? It's December 31st last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't had a Coke.
It was a New Year's resolution, was it? So
well, I just was like, man, you gotta break the Coke. You know, you gotta break the Coke addiction. So not even a resolution, it's just like, let me see how long I can go. I did cheat once. I had a float. So I do like vanilla ice cream. So I did do that.
Well, that's difficult to resist.
Yeah,
two of the best things in a glass together.
Yeah, that's real.
Also, then it's a dessert, right?
Yeah, I did it as a dessert.
That's the equivalent of like one big ice cube.
Yeah,
in a scoop of ice cream. That's as close as you'll get.
That's it.
That's fine. I don't think that even counts as cheating on.
Yeah, I did that. I felt my stomach hadn't had a Coke or ice cream in a minute, so I spent the rest of the day in the bathroom that day.
Worth it.
Yeah, I was literally just looking like this. Like, damn, it was worth it though. Smoking a joint on the toilet in a hotel, hoping I don't get charged for it.
the same guy from the lake.
Yeah. Hey, I go to the front. I know Benito. You want problems with me and Benito?
I once didn't have a Coke for 5 years. And then, I started drinking Diet Coke. And now Diet Coke tastes exactly like Coke.
I won't do Coke, Diet Coke or Coke Zero. Coke Zero, I will say, got the taste of Coke better. But when it's like, okay, Coke is sugar, fructose is not. But then you'll be on the internet and they'll say, Diet Coke, even worse than Coke, it makes your balls fall off. And I'm just like, what? Like, why does diet soda kill us quicker than regular soda? But, you know. But,
people get weird about artificial sweeteners, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
I've
never heard the theory that it makes your balls fall off.
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, you know, basically that's what this one said. And I was just like, well, I want my balls, so I'll probably just drink more water, eat watermelon. You
I
know?
Think your balls fall off and then rich people use them as ice cubes.
Yeah, that's usually how I would imagine. Evil bastards.
Pom-noms or bread? Pom-noms or bread, Killer Mike? Pom-noms or bread?
None of that for me to start because my wife's a bread eater to start. I like to start with the meat. So there's a Florida hole-in-the-wall style bar when you land in Atlanta. It's called Spondivitz. It's built like a there's this strip right by the airport called Virginia Avenue. Mm-hmm. And if you want great Louisiana style food, there's a place called Louisiana Bistro that's right in front of a dive hotel. But the food outside of Louisiana is a great Creole and French based food, and it's a great place to go. But it's in front of a Motel 6. There's a Spondivitz, which is a Florida dive bar style, terribly overpriced on some items, but they have a Cajun shrimp appetizer that's amazing. So I like meat in the beginning. So the Cajun shrimp is what I get them done extra, a little crispy. I get those.
Are these big shrimps? Because
no, not the big ones. Not the big ones. Okay. Yeah, the big shrimps I get to feeling weird about after so long.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's as big as my fucking thumb. You know what I'm saying? So it's not too small, but it's a good go-between the small and the big.
Are you suspicious of the big shrimps then?
I don't know if I'm suspicious, just they're so fucking big. Like, you're like, how long has this shrimp been here? What foul shit has this shrimp done? Because they always give you, you know what I mean? Shrimps and lobsters, the cockroaches of the sea. That's what my cinematographer guy always says to me. I'm like, shut up. You grew up eating wild hogs. hog, you know, like that is. So, yeah, but it's just that they're so goddamn big.
And they've been around, like, lobsters are like, they've been around for ages.
Yeah, lobsters used to be served in prisons. Right? They thought it was, you know, just, it's like chitlins, right? I'm not a big chitlin eater, but I'm from the South, so chitlins are a thing. Chitlins are essentially the intestines of a hog that are cut out, clean, and then boiled. And my grandmother would boil them and then fry them. My mom liked them fried. They would do that. So it was something that people looked at as poor people's food for a long time. And then somebody in the South who was rich realized, oh, man, black people are eating this and poor people are eating this, poor white folks in the Appalachians. So we should probably overprice these and sell them during the holidays. So between Thanksgiving and Christmas, people eat hog intestines and their chitlins. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't eat them so much. I ate them when I was a young boy. But shrimp and lobster are the same way. People, I hear, used to didn't care much for them. And then they realized those prisoners look really happy. Maybe we should serve this lobster and charge people $100 for them, you know?
It's good to learn what chitlins are because, like, I've heard them said in, like, TV shows, and I've had no idea what they are because we don't have them in this country.
Yeah, it's the intestines, and the cool shit about it is my grandpa, right? He liked chitlins. He didn't always like when family came to visit because chitlins were a little expensive, so whoever cooked them best, everyone would bring their buckets to. My grandmother was a great cook of chitlins, so they'd bring her, and she'd have to clean them, and she'd cook them, and then you'd come pick yours up. But there were some holidays, my grandfather was just like, he wasn't into a bunch of people coming. But too many people would come and want chitlins, and he'd tell me, go put a piece of corn in the pot. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He'd say, just take a piece of corn, put it in the pot. And that make it look like the chitlins didn't really get cleaned well. And that way the chitlins were him and my mom's the rest of the night. Knowing that. And my grandmother would get a bad reputation if she didn't clean well. She found out, man, she was mad as a motherfucker. My grandfather was happy, though. He ate his chitlins.
Yeah, of course. So it was like sabotage. He was sabotaging his own wife.
He was making sure no one else ate her chitlins. I get like that about my wife's food, though. My wife made an amazing lasagna before we left, and she was like, if you don't come home and eat it and leave the studio now, I'm going to give it to somebody. And I was like, no, the fuck you aren't. You know, I was like, that lasagna will be there when I get there, ma'am. You know what I mean? Within the first 2 weeks, I asked her to marry me, and she was like, get the fuck out of here. You're a rapper. And then so after about, I think, 4 or 5 years, we got really high in Vegas and really drunk, and I played my love to her, and we went and got married in a fucking drive-through marriage thing when our cab driver was our witness. And then we didn't tell anybody we were married for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so we've been married 17 years now. And,
that's amazing.
For 9 years, no one knew, and then we finally had to tell her family because her family is from Hilton Head Island, and they're very traditional. Black, you know, just tightly knit black family, similar to mine. And they were just like, are you going to marry our niece or are you just going to keep playing with her? And we had to say, we're already married. They're like, okay.
Were they okay with that? Or
were they okay with us being married or not? No, they were not okay with me just fucking on their niece. No. For a decade of just fucking on her niece. No, her aunt, and I call her my aunt. Now, my aunt Penny was definitely not. We were trying to talk about, you know, hey, we want to build on some land here. We'd like to put a house here. And they were like, nah, you're just fucking on our niece. Yeah. What are you going to do to take it seriously? And I was like, well, we're already married.
But were they okay about the fact you got married and then not told them for 9 years?
Yeah, they were fine. They were fine with that. You know, no one really likes going to weddings.
Yeah.
The food is usually shitty. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have two best friends, one since kindergarten, one since first grade. And so it's a trifecta friendship. Me, Robert Hicks, he used to play for the Buffalo Bills, and our man Darius, Darius Ginyard. So we've been friends literally since elementary school. And they both got married. Neither one of them would let me be the best man. Not even that I wanted to be, but I'm sitting there. I'm the man next to the man. So I'm the man next to the man. And both times, they're like, hey, and when you do your wedding rehearsals, the minister will always say, also say what they say to the wedding. If there's anyone who has any objections, if you don't want to, you know. And I'm standing there like, hey, if you don't want to do this, so Benito, you're my man. Benito, if you don't want to do this, you know you don't have to do this. The bride is literally right where we're if you don't want to do this, you know we can fucking walk. We don't have to be here. There's a strip club that's open, the great chicken wings at the Blue Flame, and the fucking wives look at me like, you fat motherfucker. And you know what I'm saying? So what are we going to do? And the food is always whack as fuck. You know what I'm saying? They order for something. Oh, we're going to have grenadine baked cornbread. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Just give us cornbread without sugar in it. Yeah. Give us some fucking oxtails, the greens his mom's makes. They always try to get exotic. It always ends up just being chicken, cold shrimp or salmon, or now everybody's vegan. There's fucking fried cauliflower. Bitch, get the fuck out of here.
Are we going straight to main course, or do you have a dream starter dish after that appetizer?
So, like those shrimps, I like home cooking. I'm big on like my wife's cooking, my sister's cooking, stuff like that. So, you know, if I was going to say the start is, if I'm just doing a start on a restaurant style, I do the Cajun style shrimp. I like meat. I like steakhouses. Mm. I like oxtails. You know what I mean? I like stuff that, and just give me something, give me a protein and give me something green. My grandma's family is from Alabama. So I like a starchy cornbread. I don't like, so half my family, my dad's side is from Georgia. My mom's side is from Alabama. Alabama tends to cook a starchier type. So their cornbread doesn't have sugar in it. It's absent sugar.
Right.
Their pancakes don't have sugar in it. It's a starchier and just butter. So I like a starchier that. And what I like doing is, so my grandma would cook collards, and it's interesting. I saw this African woman talking about it. She was like, you should be eating food with your hands. There should be a connectivity between your hands, your food, and your brain, you know, eating with knife and fork. Sometimes always the proper thing to do publicly. The first time I went to kindergarten, I think, they served at some point collard greens and cornbread. Because I went to all black public schools, all black neighborhoods. So the women that were cooking were black. And I got the collards on one side, the cornbread on the other. I did what I did at home. I put my cornbread in my collards and mashed that shit together and was eating it with my hands. And the teacher said, baby, I eat like that at home, but that's not how we eat in public, babe. And I looked at like, the fuck are you talking about? And that's how I learned you use a knife and fork in public. Mm-hmm. But I like my collard greens. So if I was at a restaurant for starters, I'd do collards and cornbread.
Yeah.
You know, because the collards are cooked, there's a turkey neck or there's a neck bone or something cooked in it. So you get the meat flavor, you get some strips of meat. But with a good starchy cornbread, you get to put it together. Yeah. And that sets you up pretty good.
I've never really known what collard greens, because I've had them, but I didn't know like what made them collard greens, and like I didn't know that there was like the turkey.
They started doing it with turkey because they deemed other meats it's not as good. So you know there was a pivot toward health, and people started doing. But the old stuff you just throw what you have in. Essentially, peasant food or poor people's food is not different. If you go around the world, poor people eat beans, they eat rice, and they eat some type of protein usually. You know, I say poor, I don't mean like distraught and without, just working class folks. Mm-hmm. Folks that are going to have to work a half a day, they're going to need something nutrient-dense to support them. So when you look at collard greens, turnip greens, and cabbage, oftentimes that's a part of the meal. That's the green thing on the meal. So turnips tend to be a little more tart than collards. Collards are a little sweeter. The meats that are in them will give it whatever flavor. So whether it's smoked turkey, whether it's neck bone, stuff like that. And then to me, with a good starchy cornbread and that sweet greens, it's just perfect to start with.
Is that all part of the main course?
Or could be start. You know, it just,
I like that coming as a little starter.
I like that starter. Yeah, sounds good.
Yep, I like that. Who does? I think Candy Burr's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Old Lady Gang. I think they do that as a starter. There's a place called Mary Max when you come to Atlanta too. It was forever owned by one family, a young black guy who went to Morehouse, went to the same college as me. He just acquired the restaurant. But what I love about it is they do a cornbread that's a starch cornbread, and it also has bacon bits in it. So you have these pork rinds that are in it, and they have a very good collard green. So Mary Max is a place that I like to go if I'm not eating my own family's food at home. But that's their starter. That's one of the starters you get from them.
Wow. And whereabouts is that?
Mary Max is on Ponce de Leon.
Right.
Or Pasta Leon, if you're in Europe.
And obviously, this is your dream meal we're creating. So
yeah.
If you don't want to eat with a knife and fork during this.
No, I'm eating with my hands. Yeah, I'm going to eat with my hands. I don't mind. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class
and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Main course,
man.
I like a steak. I like the porterhouses. I like the ribeyes. I like the bone-in ribeyes. The steak I like, there's a place called Bones in Atlanta, and there's a place called Chops Lobster Bar in Atlanta. And then it's like a Ruth Chris is like a national chain in the United States, but they always got a good steak too. But you can find a Ruth Chris anywhere, but Bones and Chops are Atlanta specific. I like the ribeyes there. I like the bone-in ribeyes. I like to do either medium or medium well, the thin line of pink, or serve it so hot that if I reheat it later, I order medium, so if I reheat later, it doesn't fully cook. I don't like a well-done steak. I don't think that's a proper way to eat steak. Mm-hmm. And I do a blackening seasoning with sometimes extra blackening because it gives it that pop. Meat is, and even game meat, people a lot of times, meat has a sweetness. When you stop drinking Cokes and doing shit like that, you'll even taste whatever grass this animal was fed.
Yeah.
So I'm really into it. I grew up eating, you know, deer meat, wild hog meat, stuff like that. So I love a good steak, and depending on where I'm from, I was in a steakhouse here. Actually, I'm going to go to tomorrow, and they have steaks that are raised here, and they have some that are directly out of Nebraska. And she was telling me that it's the grassier here, it's smokier, it's a little different. So I'm going to order two steaks for the table, and we're going to have a comparison. But I'm a steak guy. I like steak.
Great. I love that comparison thing as well. That's the sort of thing I do if I go to a restaurant and go, right, we're going to get both, and we're going to
absolutely
see what the difference is.
Absolutely. It's like I try to convince my wife about other girls. she's not as open to the idea as I am.
So the places that you just mentioned that are in Atlanta,
yeah.
How long have they been in Atlanta for? Is that
a long time. Chops is newer, but still been for. We're a member of the private club where you join and you go through the doors and behind the kitchen, and there's a speakeasy, and that's really cool because you don't have to be bothered with the whole restaurant. It's really dimly lit. It's like watching a Yakuza mob movie almost. You know what I'm saying? There's pictures of Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and stuff like that.
Oh, amazing.
Cool. And the one Bones, former Atlanta Mayor Andrew Young, who's also a former ambassador to the United States, he was a lieutenant with Dr. King and helped with civil rights and just helped my city be a great city. He took me to Bones first. You know, he showed me the difference between a regular fork, salad fork, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm a little kid. And their place is great because they're a steakhouse, but they don't take themselves so serious. You can still wear sneakers in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they were very kid. They were very not kid friendly. They were before it was cool to walk around in sneakers and you know just a regular T-shirt. No one was they weren't really tripping. So
because some of the steakhouses in the States are like super fancy.
Like I remember going to one, and this is when I learned. Just great service people. You just can't. They're irreplaceable. My wife and I are getting ready to open a restaurant, to reopen a 50-year-old restaurant that me and T.I. bought together called Bankhead Seafood. But I went to this steakhouse, and the steakhouse required you have a jacket to come in. And I was a big kid, you know what I mean? So I didn't have a jacket. I didn't know you were supposed to have a jacket. And the guy says, we're just going to walk you in with your jacket, and we'll put it on the back of your chair. That way, I'll just tell people he didn't want to get anything on his jacket. And I was just, you know, as I'm this little black kid, I'm a little intimidated by the environment. You know, he's a big, burly white guy. He was nice as anybody's uncle has ever been to him. But he walked me through it and showed me just how to the loopholes. And I like steakhouse service. Yeah. And I think that's a part of the reason I like steakhouses. You still feel very masculine. Mm-hmm. Your machismo is validated in a steakhouse. You
know? I'd like to know how you got to be part of this little secret room at Chops. How did that come about?
So, man, there's a guy named Don Perry he's a guy in the music industry who's mentored just like dozens of guys. He likes to meet there. So when I meet him, I have dinner with him there. But he told us that, hey, you know, there's this club. And if you want to join, you let me know. I'll get you recommended and we'll get you on there. And we had heard about it maybe being a thing, but he's the guy that he pushed the button. And my wife and I joined and now we are she goes more than me. My wife eats out more than I do. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? But again, I love her cooking. So I don't give a fuck what she eats. I want to eat at home, you know? and so we joined and it's been pretty cool. I think we'll probably be lifetime members.
Is LP part of the little secret club?
Not at Chops. I think LP's Soho House or something?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a Soho House guy.
Yeah, the steak's not as good at Soho House.
I mean, the environment is cool at Soho House. Yeah. The food is cool, but it's not the same as Steakhouse.
Yeah, it's not. You're not getting that. There's no open fire and big steaks and stuff.
New York Prime, too, is a place that's in Atlanta, but they got a really good steak and really good service, too.
Nice.
What I like, I know when I'm in a good steakhouse, when I look at the pictures or the writings on the wall. So it's like, you know, you go to New York Prime and it says, any complaints, take to Luca Brasi. You know, because Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes, you know what I mean? Yeah, once you go to Chops in their private room and pictures of, like I say, Sinatra and Sam, you know, so Americans love criminals. God bless our soul. You give us a good mafia member, man, and we're going to eat there. I enjoy steakhouses for that reason, too.
Yeah.
There's always this element of, you know, anything can happen. I'm in a scene from The Godfather.
And the sides as well. Sides in a steakhouse. Yes, yes. Just all of those.
And they're big. And they're, you know, they're you know, when I do a steakhouse, that would be the only meal I'm eating today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you having your dream side dishes from the steakhouse as well?
Yeah, I like the garlic mashed potatoes. I tend not to like macaroni and cheese from any restaurant, but I prefer my wife. If I was doing macaroni and cheese, I'd have my wife make the mac and cheese. Asparagus is something I caught on in the last few years and I really like.
Yeah.
Asparagus is a vegetable I can get. You smell it when you pee after you're done.
You really do.
But that lets you know that water's getting through your body quick. So, but I don't have to go too crazy. Just give me a good steak and potato. The baked potatoes are great at steakhouses. When it goes big, hearty baked potatoes, you get the sour creams. Mm-hmm. Not so much big on the chives and stuff, but just give me butter potato and sour cream. I love a good baked potato with my steak. There's what I like about Ruth Chris is, being from the South, we're into yams. You know, with sugar or without, sweet potatoes mm-hmm. are a staple in the South. My grandmother made them. My aunts still make them. And so Ruth Chris has a great, it's like a sweet potato souffle. So it's sweet potato, there's these pecan choppings, and like this sugar that sprinkle. My wife will take that and add a little more butter and sugar as she tries to fatten me up some more. So I like that. I like my steak with a sweet potato too, or a white potato. But yeah, I'm a steak guy. And what else? Salads. Mm-hmm. I like a mix. I don't like regular lettuce. I like mixed greens. I like spinach. I like other greens. So I'm big on my salad. And I don't like a lot of dressing on my salad.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'll get a salad and I'll just add some type of fruit, whether it's the clementine, oranges, or apples, or grapes, or something. And I let that kind of serve as my dressing. Nice. I don't even do balsamic vinegar and stuff. My thing is the fruit juice kind of pops the flavor. Sometimes it'll smother the taste when you put like too much dairy or creamy thing on it. And if I do get, or if I'm sharing a salad with her, I might dip a little bit, but I'm not big on salad dressing. I just like my salads with some fruit thrown on top.
I think especially if you're at a steakhouse, right? And you're having like the steak is like rich and fatty and meaty and everything's, all the sides have got like butter and stuff. Yeah. You need something to cut through.
That. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We've spoke about yams a few times on the podcast because...
Are you talking about cocaine or are you talking about... I'm sorry, just where I'm from, yams.
Does that mean...
Well, yeah, when you're talking about yams, you're talking about kilos of cocaine. So are you guys in the coke?
I've suddenly just understood a lot more songs.
Yeah, I'm saying you thought Jeezy was talking about vegetables all the time.
I mean, literally, a lyric. What's the yams? I understand it now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but like,
yams also means ass too.
D- Does it?
Yeah, yeah. So when the girl said, man, she got them yams.
So it's in, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In King Kunta by Kendrick, what's he talking about, the yams in that song?
I don't know the lyric. I'm a little stoned, so I'm blanking a little bit.
Yeah, he says, what's the yams? They talk about the yams and Richard Pryor in the same lyric as what I know.
That was cocaine if he's talking about Richard Pryor.
Contextually,
shouts out to Richard.
Like
shouts out to Mr. Pryor.
Yeah, when you got the yams, what's the yams? The yam brought it out of Richard Pryor.
Yeah, yams and cocaine. Yeah. Now, so,
come
yeah.
on, you can work that out from context.
Yeah. I can now. I'm going to take advantage of this education while I can, Ed. We've talked about just the sweet potatoes on the podcast and how, as English people, when we first saw it with marshmallows, it blew our mind.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen it with marshmallows.
Couldn't comprehend it.
Yeah.
But, I understand it, though. I like, you know what I like for breakfast? I like cheese eggs, I like grits, and I like a crisp fried fish. That's fish and grits or fish and rice. You know, my grandma would do fish and cheese grits. So you get eggs. My grandmother made an egg. It's interesting. My friend who's co-producers for Run the Jewels, Lil Shalimar, his dad made eggs in a similar way. But it's when you turn it on low heat, you crack the eggs and you put in and you let the eggs yolk sit there and you let the white start to firm up first and you just leave it. My wife made me some of these actually before we left too. And you let them, and then you scramble. So the eggs are this beautiful orangey yolk with this white, and you do cheese, and she would even throw cream cheese in it sometimes. You do that versus just mixing it all together. My other grandmother would add milk, and so it just becomes this base yellow. You know what I mean? So I like that, and I like the grits, and I like my grits with cheese. And then you just get a crisp fried fish, or you do rice instead of the grits. That's always a good breakfast to get you going. You're probably not going to eat anything for the rest of the day because
it's
going to be so heavy. But that's it. So if I was doing breakfast, I'd do that.
What fish are you going for in that?
Man, whatever you catch, bass, crappie, catfish, whatever you catch at the lake that day, you know what I'm saying? So I'm a catfish fan. A lot of people aren't. But I like catfish because it's firm. It's firm like a beef.
Yeah,
I like it like that. Bass is always clean, always taste clean. So you know, if you give me a bass for breakfast, a lot of people wait to get sea bass or bass at night, but I like bass in the morning for breakfast.
Have you ever been in with a catfish, trying to catch a catfish with your hands?
No, I haven't done that. I've man, I'm gonna tell you, catfish are strong as fuck.
Yeah,
they're hard as hell to clean. And I loved catching them, but they're such a big fish. I've seen those people, they call it noodling, where they bend down and they put their guns, Native American thing. You've done it?
I had to do it for a TV show.
Come on,
and
you
bad
motherfucker.
They are strong.
Yeah, sir, they're strong as shit, right?
I ended up with it.
I mean,
it was like, it was massive. It was like that. And it ended up with its mouth around here. So my arm was just like fully inside.
Did you have hand through gill pulling it out?
Yeah, or I had
you
to just try and get it up and then eventually got it around the mouth and
got
pulled it
out
of the water.
Yeah, now catfish, even if you're catching a catfish just, you know, with the fishing rod, one of the smaller ones, they're just strong. They feel like a whole muscle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're strong. That's crazy. I've always wanted to meet someone who did that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're a badass guy.
I don't think Ed has ever been happier that this podcast gets filmed. Because that was probably the best moment of his life just then, when you called him a bad motherfucker.
Yes. Yeah, you
shook hands with him, and you've said you've always wanted to meet somebody who's done that.
Yeah, because it looks so badass, man. It looks bad. You thought it was a dying tradition, because when we hear about it in the States, it's something that, you know, indigenous people used to do. And the next thing you know, man, some white guy says, hold my beer. The next thing you know, they're in a fucking lake up to their neck, reaching in a goddamn the cat cave and pulling it out. I think you're amazing. I think you're awesome.
Earlier you said, like, what your meals are on this tour with the choir and everyone that you've got. Does that differ? How does that differ from a Run the Jewels tour if you're going and you're going out for food on that with a...
Elle likes Asian food. So, you know, there's a lot of... And here in Trackstar, I just have a theory. White people and Asian food is a quirky thing to me. Like, you guys, you know, in search of spice, you know, to be the night.
I think that's what it is.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, I like Thai food. There was a, man, shouts out to Gary, who is Gary's an engineer at Shangri-La I think it's called Shangri-La, Rick Rubin's place up in Malibu. I was like, man, fuck it, man. I got to expand my taste buds. Gary, what are you eating? And Gary was eating a vegan dish, but I thought there were meatballs in this rice, and it's like this wonderful peanut sauce over it. No meat in it. Me and Gary sat around and ate that shit like my grandpa had just slaughtered a deer and dressed it. And then we were eating meat. It was amazing.
Wow.
So Gary got me on the Indian food more. But sometimes it's so spicy. I'm not a fan of spicy food. But when we're out with Elle, you know, more experimental, more Asian-based stuff and shit is cool. But, I'm a back-to-the-basics guy. Get me at a good barbecue place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like Austin for that reason. I like Dallas, Texas for that reason. You know, I'm totally into Brazilian restaurants where... you know, you just get fucking so much meat coming around. You
love
just,
it.
I mean, it's, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of that.
Ed, are you going to catch Mike a catfish? You know, catfish? And
yeah,
send
I
it in
can
the
catch
post?
You a catfish. I'm going to
send it in the mail.
We're going to eat the fuck out of it.
Yeah. I'd have to
freeze it.
Fly over to the
States. Why don't you just come and we'll just figure out fishing?
Yeah, all right.
I'm not going to stick my arm in the water, but we'll.
Yeah, I do that. I've never really done proper fishing before. I've just done.
So we'll do it. We'll get it done. No bullshit.
You can be smoking weed on the boat.
Yeah.
And Ed's in the water.
The game warden comes, I'm not talking to him. Ed's going to do all the talking.
I can do all the talking. I say, excuse me, Mr. Warden, that's not what you smell. That's the local vegetation,
that's
Mr. Warden.
That's tobacco. Yeah.
Your dream drink, Mike.
Well, I don't drink alcohol a lot, but Johnny Walker Blue is the whiskey that it's a Scotch I prefer, but it's in the lane of whiskey. There's also, this is off market, you guys can't get it. In the South, there's a long history of just brewing your own what they call corn whiskey or illegal liquor. And I found some great, great liquor out of the Carolinas. It's a moonshine, but it's a peach-based moonshine. Mm-hmm. So you're drinking it, and it tastes like something you'd order at a resort. But there's a guy with the long beard and overalls that makes it. And you pick it up, you don't tell anybody.
Amazing.
So that is probably my dream drink. That whiskey is one of the best. So Johnny Walker Blue, if I'm just buying stuff off the shelf. But when I'm at home, I still got some in my fridge right now. Just got an amazingly home-crafted, you know, what my grandfather called corn liquor, and it tastes like peaches infused. Wow. So that's one of them. Yeah.
Do you ever do small talk with the guy with the beard when you go and get the drink from him?
Do I do it?
What kind of stuff do you end up talking about?
Well, my guys that go between, but you know, we talk about marijuana because we have better marijuana, they have better liquor. So it's oftentimes, why don't you try this wheat? And they're like, you know, you were going to give you liquor at a better price. I'm like, thank you. Yeah. The small talk is usually just about, you know, Southerners are very similar, even though if we're racially different, we're very similar. We don't want to be left alone. We don't like the government in our fucking business. We like to grow our own weed or brew our own liquor, you know. We sin on Saturdays, go to church on Sundays, ask for forgiveness, and work hard the other 5 days of the week.
Nice. You know?
How long will like one of those bottles last you then? If you're getting some like, and you're only having like three or four drinks a year, you say? So like.
Yeah. So, but I have friends, and my friends are drinkers. So yeah. My bottles, the Johnny Walker goes pretty quick. My wife curses about. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. They're my friends. I don't give a shit if it's $200 a bottle. There. So, you know, with that, it can go quicker because I'll just be smoking marijuana. My friends, but I want something to drink, and I'll just bring it out. The moonshine, though, in terms of the peach-infused moonshine, we call it killer peach. That stuff doesn't last as long because I actually like it. And so when my friends come over, I'm just like, let's drink some of this shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, 3 to 4 times, might be 5 to 6 times with them, and I pour a big cup, not a small cup.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere the rest of the day.
Does it go down super easy then?
Super easy. Yeah. Corn whiskey is not known for going down super easy. It can be smooth, but it still hits you.
Yeah.
And usually, if it tastes like something, it usually means it's not good. Mm-hmm. So they mask it with a taste. This is the first time I've drank the corn. It's as clear as this. You can see through it.
Wow. Mm.
Like a glass, and the peach infusion is there. And it's absolutely clean and it's beautiful. I just put, you know, a cup of ice together, pour it over it. And if I'm watching, say, you know, American version of football, what, hour and a half? That's going to last me, that whole thing, because I'm going to sip, nice. Put it down. Because afterwards, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm drunk.
And you said that might be when you're smoking weed. What are you pairing with that? What kind of weed would go best?
Heavy indica. Right now, I'm smoking. And Gary Payton, smoking Gary Payton and drinking peach when I get back home. And I found some Gary Payton over here, interestingly enough. But it's an OG Kush, so.
We rarely talk to guests about weed pairings with things. I think it's just you and Dan Aykroyd who've talked about that.
Really? Shouts out to Dan, man. Blues Brothers, man. Yeah. That's essentially part of Run the Jewels is based on Blues Brothers. But no, man, yeah, I think that marijuana, there's a chef that we use to on the holidays especially, but different points of the year. He does a marijuana-infused king crab that I love. And his king crab, it just fall out of the shell good. It's I like king crab because, again, like bass, it's a... Or catfish, rather. It's a heavier, you know, it's not like, you know, regular crab. My wife taught me how to eat crab. She's from a port city. She's from Savannah. So I grew up eating lake fish. I didn't grow up eating stuff out of the ocean. I didn't even know I like oysters. To her aunt literally went next to her house is here. She walked to the water, pulled oysters out, and they were cooking them in her front yard.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I don't know if I like it. And by the time she did, she had popped it out and put it in my mouth. I said, oh, it's fucking amazing. You didn't even have to add salt. She was like, the salt is in the water. You know what I mean? So, you know, that I like marijuana infused king crab legs that this guy makes for me. I like smoking marijuana where if you, I don't know if you guys, how you do it here, but when my wife or port cities in America, when they eat crabs, they just put newspaper out like on a table and they just dump them all out and everybody goes for it. You know what I mean? So I like my marijuana infused in my king crabs. I like smoking when I eat seafood because seafood usually isn't that heavy on you. So you can still enjoy your high. You know, if you, you know, with a steak, you got to smoke before and after because the steak's going to sober you up some. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm pro marijuana infused food. My dad ate some cookies, got too fucking high one time in my house, thought he was going to die. My dad used to be a cop, too. That's what was fucking hilarious.
Did he know that the cookies were weird?
No, of course not. No, he was just like, you're just like your fucking mother. I'm like, you had a kid, Byron.
Because I'm more of a sweet tooth myself. What's the best weed cookies or weed brownies or
I don't things my, that you've so had? I go to get, back when you still had to get a marijuana license in California to get it, so I go, me and my wife set up an appointment with the doctor. So we go to the doctor. The doctor says, do you smoke cigarettes? No. Smoke marijuana, yes. Do you eat infused stuff? Yeah, no. It's no good for you. I say, for real? Yeah, no good. You just smoke, drink plenty of water. My wife goes in. You smoke? Yeah. You smoke cigarettes? No, no. You smoke marijuana? Yeah, yeah. Good, good. Do you ever eat marijuana? Eat infused? Yeah, yeah. Oh, good. Keep going, keep going. So we leave later, and that's what I'm looking like Benito. Like, what the fuck? Why would you tell me not to? And I'm saying, why did he tell me not to eat? And she just looks at me. Why would he tell you not to eat sweets, Michael? And I'm like, she says, you're a little fat ass. So,
there's you. So there's something scientific about marijuana interacting with the sugar. Yeah. That must be why.
So that's why I don't do as many edibles as much as I do smoke. Yeah. I smoke and I drink a lot of water. If I eat edibles, it's like a holiday. But I always think about that little doctor, man. He's just it's like, no, you shouldn't eat.
Well, we do arrive now at your dream dessert. The dessert portion of the menu.
Yeah. As you can tell, I'm like, you have a sweet tooth. I like desserts. I like chocolate cake a lot. But you know, honestly, my favorite is carrot cake. Yeah. Carrot cake is amazing. The cream cheese, icing, the nuts on it, the texture of the carrots in it, and the or ginger or whatever it is that kind of pops out. I'm a big fan of carrot cake. I like it room temperature, though. I don't like my carrot cake cold. I don't like how I like it room temperature, but I'm big on carrot cake. And carrot cake pairs well with whiskey too. So if you're having dessert, because usually I'm ordering my whiskey mid or at the end of the meal, it's a good thing to have. So yeah, carrot cake is one. I like key lime pie from Spondivitz, from the place I told you about. Mm-hmm. But what I really like is Edwards, which is just a pie company, big pie company in America, but they make a lemon meringue pie. So probably my all-time favorite dessert would be a tie between carrot cake and lemon meringue pie.
So like what makes this particular lemon meringue pie so
good? Edwards, it because the meringue is sweet, it's firm, it's not loosey-goosey, and the lemon part of it, the custard, is firm, you know what I mean? Not hard enough, but it's a pie, but it doesn't fall apart pie, you know what I mean? So it's a pie, but it has the consistency of a cake.
So what I've got to ask you about desserts is about where to get the best peach cobbler in Atlanta. Because
my wife, you could just come to my house and she'll make you some peach cobbler.
Yeah.
So Shay makes a hell of a peach cobbler.
Yeah.
And she makes a hell of a lemonade. When I was thinking about what I drink that's non-alcoholic, we're opening. So there's a 50-year-old restaurant called Bankhead Seafood. Everybody's heard T.I. Records, heard them say Bankhead. That's the street that runs through the community we grew up in. Mm-hmm. We bought this restaurant. We bought the land, bought the restaurant, bought the recipes from the lady. And we would say, well, what do you want to add? T.I. makes a great sweet potato pie, so I think we're going to add that. My wife makes an amazing lemonade. You know, that she also makes an amazing peach cobbler that when she asks if we could put on the menu, I said, absolutely fucking not. That stays in the family. Fucking give him a peach cobbler. So her peach cobbler is amazing. And so you can come to ours. But Bankhead Seafood, we're going to open. Great. It used to be a dive place where you just come in, get fish to go and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Now it's a proper sit-down restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get our liquor license and beer license now so you can drink RTJ beer while you're there. We have a rooftop and stuff. So when you guys come to Atlanta, you're going to have to stop by. But my wife's peach cobbler is fucking amazing. And there's also, I'm trying to think, there's one.
Because you went on a quest, didn't you, James?
Yeah. When
for I was peach cobbler?
Yeah. When I was in Atlanta, I was only there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
really wanted a peach cobbler one day, and I didn't do a good job, Mike. I just put, like, into Google, the best peach cobbler in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Came up with a place, so I put the postcode in, and I followed. I went there, and then it was just a like a store. It wasn't a. It was like a. It was a general store. I went to the back, and they were like, "Yeah, you can kind of heat this up in that microwave over there."
Nah. Peach cobbler got to come out of an oven. But I got you. I promise you. I got you.
I knew it had gone bad. Yeah, you know?
Yeah. There are a couple restaurants I'm blanking on the names right now, because I don't eat peach cobbler often anywhere. My grandmother, God bless the dead, made an amazing cobbler. And I married a woman who cooked so similar to my grandmother that, you know, it's like I don't really notice the difference. But she, my wife makes an amazing peach cobbler. I'll get Shay to make you one.
Oh, man.
I mean, got you. That's a promise.
So we'll go fishing and James can eat peach cobbler.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Happily. What a great deal. I'll eat a peach cobbler and watch Ed catch a fish with his bare hands.
Let's get it.
Absolutely happy to do that. So are we? Do you want carrot cake and lemon meringue for dessert or just one?
I'm poly when it comes to food.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm pro desserts for the same way. Like if we were out, I just ordered for the table. Like, let's just hit three or four. We'll just share.
Yeah, yeah, you know what nice. I mean? Yeah.
That's it, you know?
Yeah, well,
James does that when we go out. He's like, this is for the table. And you're like, it's for you, man.
Yeah. Well,
we'll get all the desserts.
Get all the desserts. Everyone tries some. We have done that before.
I think that's a cool thing to do.
Yeah. Those are good days. Good. Well, then maybe we put Shay's peach cobbler in there as well.
Yeah, I'll have her bring it.
We just have them for the table.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, for your dream menu.
Would you like a little whiskey at the end of the meal?
I do a whiskey with you guys.
Yeah. Well, then, we all have a drink.
Yeah.
Benito. Yeah, Benito nodded his head.
Yeah, Benito's going to have a whiskey too.
He'll have one as well.
Let's get it, Benito.
And what, because also you're a musician, what music would you like playing for this meal?
Man, I'm pro Sinatra and Nat King Cole. When you're eating, you know, I rap for a living, so it's not like I want to hear more rap. When I'm eating R&B and stuff, at about a third R&B song, I'm like, God damn, how sad are you? You know what I'm saying? So for me, you know, if it's not, you know, I like stuff that feels like I'm in a Goodfellas movie. So give me Frank Sinatra, give me Nat King Cole, give me Dean Martin. You know, if you wanna up it a little bit and have a cool vibe, give me Sade, give me Snow, you know, Allegra, give me stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I like cool. But really. Give me that old jazzy shit, man. There's nothing as cool as having a steak hearing Nat King Cole, Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin. There's nothing as cool as that.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now and see how you feel about it.
Okay.
You would like still water with lemon and lots of ice.
Yep.
You would like Cajun shrimp from Spondivitz. Starter, you like collard greens and cornbread. Main course, a medium steak with blackening seasoning. Ribeye steak we going for in the end?
A porterhouse or I do the ribeye. I do the ribeye in, but with the bone.
Bone in.
Yeah, bone in.
Bone in.
Yep, fatty too. Yeah. Fatty for flavor.
Side dish, we've got, well, actually, we hit a lot of different ones here as well. Garlic mashed potatoes, a big baked potato.
Yeah.
Drink course, you would like the killer peach, which is the infused moonshine.
Yeah.
And dessert, you want carrot cake, lemon meringue pie from Edwards, Shay's peach cobbler.
Yeah.
And then some Johnny Walker Blue for everyone afterwards.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll add this though for the table, you know, I heard early that champagne cleanses the palate, and you know, we were young when we were kids, we were trying to be like the older drug dealers who were buying like $100 bottles of champagne, that $40 bottle of Moet, that White Star, that plain, it really does clean your palate. I will say that it makes your mouth fresh again. So whatever you're eating next is something new. So I'd order some champagne.
We'll get that for the table. We'll keep it flowing for the whole meal.
Absolutely. Oh, I'll add this. I'll give this because this is Elle's favorite restaurant, Peter Luger's. As a steakhouse, I don't think their steaks are the most amazing. It's a decent steak, but their bacon.
Yeah.
The guy.
I've heard about the bacon.
The bacon.
That thick.
It's that thick. So Peter Luger's bacon and New York Prime in Atlanta both have amazing bacon, and I'd add that to the starter.
Oh yeah,
yeah, because they look.
I've
like...
still not been to Peter Luger's because I don't, you can't book right, or and then it's only cash. So whenever I'm like,
so this is what you do: you put $100 bill in your hand, you fold it, you shake the top of his hand, and then... say, "You guys got a table for me?"
Oh,
he's
right.
Gonna say, "Go sit at the bar, give me 10, 15 minutes."
Okay, we're gonna do that next time we're there, James.
You gotta do it. Just be subtle. Be subtle.
We'll do it.
I love when Elle tells me, I can't get reservations. And I'm just like, I think we can.
let me do it though, because your hands stink of catfish. Yeah. No one's shaking your hand, mate.
That's the way to do it, though. In any steakhouse, obviously, that's the way to do it.
Yeah,
Make sure you tip well.
So that's a lovely way to end it. Thank you very much.
Love and respect, guys. Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you so much to Killer Mike for coming on the Off Menu podcast. What a chat, James. We were both very excited for that one, and I think it lived up to all our hopes and dreams.
Yeah, it was great to have Killer Mike on the podcast.
It was. It was. Great menu as well, James.
Great menu, very delicious. Made me want to go to Atlanta ASAP.
Didn't say cheesy rat as well.
Didn't say cheesy rat, which is fair enough. Yes. I mean, it was never going to happen. he sneezed. He sneezed. That's a loud sneeze. He jumped up and down on his chair when he did it as well. And his chair went backwards. He bounced up and down on his chair.
I was on Claudia Winkleman's show the other day and she sneezed during the traffic report, but she was still on mic.
Good on her.
She's a pro.
Did she interrupt Sally Traffic?
Yeah, Sally Traffic was good. So surprised.
Good.
James has got a feud with Sally Traffic from Radio 2.
I'll keep it going.
Thank you to Killer Mike. The album, Michael, is out now.
Yeah, make sure you go out and buy it.
It's brilliant.
In fact, just get Killer Mike's entire back catalogue, all of his stuff with Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
Yeah, every guest appearance he's ever done.
Just fantastic.
Starting with that Outkast song he did on Stankonia.
One of the best. And he's on tour later this year, so make sure you go and see him on tour as well. I'm sure you'll probably bump into me and James there.
Yeah.
Don't say anything to us.
Don't say anything to us. You stay away from us.
Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again. We'll see you again sometime soon. Bye-bye.
But goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.